We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen as Pastor Matt Postiff explains and applies the biblical text one verse at a time. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. Join us now as Pastor Postiff opens God's Word. Let's take our Bibles and make our way over to Haggai, if you would please. Another of the minor prophets. Haggai. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. Some of you pronounce it Haggai, a little extra little syllable in there, or vowel, Haggai. And if you get to Zephaniah, just one more book, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. If you get to Zechariah and Malachi, you've gone too far. We have been here before, although not often. Haggai, we're going to read the first of the chapters in this, the prophet. It says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, just to set the stage here, you might remember that Haggai is in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, the last half of Ezra and then some in Nehemiah. And so he's calling the people to work. And it says in verse 5, now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Now that's the opposite, isn't it, of the if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, isn't it? Why is that? Well, because they were ignoring God. They were pushing Him out of their life, kind of in a kind of colloquial way we might say today. More technically, they were not obeying the Mosaic covenant. And so every effort that they made was not met with success or blessing from God, but rather with blasting. Verse 6 again says, you eat but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. You might have felt that way before. My wages come in and they all disappear. But here it was disappearing faster than even normal. As it were, they were just not able to get ahead because they were being disobedient to the Lord. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is a great call to think. Think about what you are doing and be, as we said this morning, situationally aware, and I mean by that spiritually aware of what's going on in your life. Don't just be bumbling along in life, not caring about moral things, not caring about ethics, certainly not caring about faith or spiritual things or the Bible or God or salvation or Christ, and then wonder, oh, why am I having such a hard time getting myself together here? Consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. All right, so you could go back and correlate that with Ezra and Nehemiah, start in Ezra there and check that out. But good call, good reminder for us as well, that we don't have a temple to build. And look, we're not going to use those verses to kick off a building program for the church, you know, like an addition or a new building or something like that. It's not exactly relevant, although some have done that, I'm sure, to call the people to give and to do the work, but not for us today. So, all right. We've done our series on, could you cut off a couple of those lights there just to make it easier on the eyes of the folks in the auditorium? That's great. All right, thank you. For those of you online, we should be shortly seeing my slides here. We have looked at how we got the English Bible, basically, how it came to us from revelation and inspiration and preservation, you know, God having the men write the manuscripts in Greek and Hebrew and bringing that down forward to us. By the way, there's a whole kind of thing that's been going on lately, a fad in terms of arguing about the scriptures in terms of the Muslim faith. They'll ask you, well, what language did Jesus speak? And you're supposed to say on cue Aramaic. And then they're going to say, well, see, the New Testament was written in Greek, so we don't really have the words of the Lord. But what they're ignoring is a couple of factors. One, at least a couple of factors. One is Jesus was probably trilingual. He could speak in Greek and in Hebrew and in Aramaic. And secondly, what could I say? Well, the scripture tells us that God gave the Bible by inspiration, or God breathed it out. So the words that are in Greek in the New Testament, or Hebrew in the Old Testament, or some sections of Aramaic in the Old Testament, are precisely exactly what God wants them to be to convey His message to us. So there can be no error in the original manuscript. Maybe we can talk about that more another time, but that's a start on it anyway. But we come back to, we've got the Bible. We looked at some issues surrounding the Greek text and the differences between manuscripts and all of that. And we came to this section of notes, which I have up here. And last time we were together, which I think was in May, we looked at this. And we went through different kinds of Bibles and study Bibles and word study tools and things. So really moving into, okay, now we have the Bible. What do we do with it? And I showed some modern tools for word study, and the Logos Bible software is a good example of that. Different techniques you can use to find the meaning of a text of Scripture, including diagramming, finding the limits of a passage, understanding the main point, and then writing a topic and assertion statement of the central idea of the passage. You can do diagramming like this. I just put up a diagram of Romans 1:16. We looked at this before. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation." And so the arcing technique groups segments of text, because meaning comes with groupings of words, and then shows that this section here is a ground, that's what the letter G stands for, is a ground for why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. Why not? For it's the power of God unto salvation. So what you can do is imagine doing this kind of diagram with like a whole paragraph of text or a whole chapter. And just imagine now in your mind how complex these arcs get, and arcs within arcs within arcs within arcs, and you get four or five levels of them, and it's all very fascinating and complicated when you get into it, but it is interesting. So that's one way you can do it. You can do a block diagram of a text, and I just picked an easy one here, the beginning of 1 Peter. And I wanted to highlight something here that you see. You can see parallelism in the text when you do a diagram like this. So you have Peter. What is Peter? He's an apostle of what? Of Jesus. And then Peter's writing to a group of people who and then indented each time, reside as aliens scattered throughout. And then there's the five regions that they're scattered throughout. By the way, Josiah, for example, when you're memorizing a text of Scripture, say from the Classics, the book from Scripture Memory Fellowship, if you write out the text like this with a certain format, which you'd be able to do because you're very artistic, you might find that, oh, look, it's actually visually easier for me to memorize because I can see the layout of the text in my mind. And so you might try that sometime as a way to help you remember a text. Next, we looked at using commentaries to aid our study of God's Word. We've talked about the kind of debate about should I use commentaries early in my study process or should I use commentaries only late in the study process. Now, I've, as I say, voted with my feet, and I usually use commentaries late in the study process. Now, some would say, well, you could use your time more wisely if you started with the commentary, good commentaries first, so you kind of get a lay of the land and the issues and all of that. But I felt like I want to study the text, not that I'm so smart and inventive, but just study it myself, ask God's help, and get a grasp of what I understand the text to be saying, and then look at the commentaries to see what I missed, if I missed anything that was relevant. So I shared some of that with you. You can say, well, you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but on the other hand, you want to spend some time soaking in the text and looking at it in different translations. For me, lately, I've been liking going back to old school. Shut off the computer. Don't type it necessarily, but just start by looking at it with a piece of paper and a pen in hand and just diagram it out or write some observations and questions and things and just kind of get away from the distractions that way and not go right to the commentaries either in the book form or on the screen. But commentaries are very helpful. We have bunches of them in the library. We try to emphasize a little bit more of a meatiness to the library, especially in the 220 section. You'll find right against on the other side of this wall here for us that are at the church. A bunch of commentaries, and I can show you a little bit the layout of that if you're interested. I remember when I was a young person walking into a library, and I was overwhelmed. Now, some of you might think, well, that's not my problem, but for me, it was like, how do I find a book? And you know, remember, we grew up in the days of the old card catalog, so to find something, you had to go to this big thing with drawers in it and pull the drawer out and look through all the cards, and man, it was something else. So much easier today with the computer as our help to look things up, but there is rhyme and reason to how that's arranged over there, and I can show you that sometime if you're interested. Okay, so after we talk about that, I wanted to next talk about a topic called scripture engagement. And this there's actually a segment of this in a couple of slides that's going to be in a PDF file for our guys in the tech booth back there that you'll have to control click on a link, and hopefully it'll bring that up and you can show that. It may be a little bit more manual for us than what we'd like, but that's how I got the slides. So anyway, I want to talk about scripture engagement. So after translating a Bible, translators are concerned that their work will be put to good use. Nothing would be more frustrating than to spend 10 to 20 years producing a Bible translation and then have it sit on the shelf or in a warehouse of thousands of books, Bibles, that have not been sold and put to use. How would you like that if your life's work was just sitting in a warehouse somewhere and not actually being used? And so scripture engagement is concerned with, it's a part of the Bible translation process and missions work, which seeks to encourage the intentional and systematic ongoing use of scripture. It applies to people individually and also to churches corporately. So we probably you haven't thought about this because scripture engagement has been baked into you if you've grown up in the church just from the beginning. You know, we should be reading the Bible and bring it to church and use it when the pastor's preaching and memorize it and study it and read a little portion in our devotions every day. That's scripture engagement. But If you're a people who have grown up in a non-literate society, that's a different ballgame altogether. You might not have read at all. You might not use printed materials, depending on your context and culture, ever. So this is something that has to be built up from the ground up. So this part of the process comes after translation and after distribution. It has to do with using the Bible, reading it, hearing it, studying it, teaching it, memorizing it, meditating on it, so that people's lives will be transformed. And to some extent, this includes another area, which Bibles International, with whom we work, has a whole department of literacy. How can you have people read the Bible if they don't know how to read? So there can be a place for preparing literacy helps, primers, reading instruction, classes, and things like that to help people to be able to read the Scripture for themselves, to be able to read in the first place. And then, of course, not only just reading it, hearing it, understanding it, and living out the words of the Bible. So then some of Scripture engagement encompasses things like creating and using Sunday school material. Perhaps you've known somebody who's been an editor or a writer for, I don't know, Regular Baptist Press or something, who has written Sunday school material. Well, that sort of thing is done in many languages. We know of somebody who is involved in that in Brazil, in Portuguese. Devotional material, you know, books like or booklets like the Days of Praise. People that write that are trying to get folks into the Word of God. There's sermon material, audio recordings, videos now today to get people to engage with the Bible. So you could, and maybe you do, participate in Scripture engagement. You could go as far as translating the Bible or being a translation consultant for your life's work. You could be a pastor or missionary, starting new churches and using the Bible in whatever the target language is. You could be a Sunday school teacher. You know, you're helping your students to be engaged with Scripture when you do that. You could help distribute the Bible in print or electronically, like our team does for Bibles International. You could write curriculum, solid Sunday school curriculum or devotional material for many churches and have them use that material. You could serve in a support capacity for a Bible translation society, or simply you could be involved by reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on, praying with your Bible and with the people in your church family. So here's where I wanted to branch off of the PowerPoint and go over to this PDF file, which is about Scripture engagement from Bibles International's portion. Now, I can't show this easily here, so let me see. John, I wonder if in the back you could control-click on this link and see if it will come up. That would be in the PowerPoint file, not in the presentation view, but just in the PowerPoint program itself. We'll wait a second here and see if it might come up. Are you finding that? We have time, don't worry. Okay, there it is. Now, I can actually sort of control that. I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see here. But so this is material from Bibles International Scripture Engagement Department. I just thought we'd run through this quickly to see what they say about Scripture engagement. They say it concerns how God's people encounter and use the Bible. So let me give you an idea of this from an organizational perspective. At Bibles International, for example, we have a project management department, we have a text production department, and we have a Scripture engagement department. So project management is about the adoption of new languages, about demographic studies and things to see if the Bible is, if they're ready to do the translation of the Bible, if they have the resources to do it, if they have the interest to do it, their church is there to receive it, and so on. And then the text, and so they adopt a project and raise funding for it and things like that. And then the text production department goes about actually doing the translation. Now, in the text production department, the way the org chart works at BI, there's also the literacy part of it. And so they might begin working on literacy work and linguistics. I mean, imagine if you if the language hasn't been written before, or there's some confusion about how do we spell words. Now, that sounds kind of funny to us maybe, but how do we spell words? Do we put all these suffixes on the end of the word, or do we put spaces between them? Or are they actually separate words? Or are they word suffixes, prefixes, all of that? And we've got to be consistent about that, because now we're going to have to write it down. Instead of just talking it, we have to actually put it into writing. So there's all kinds of issues that can come up with that. And I don't even know all about that. Linguistic specialists are into that. So you have the text production department. So you get that literacy work done. You get the linguistics part done. You start translating the Bible book by book. Start with the New Testament. Go through that. Work through the Old Testament. Finish that. You've got your Bible. That can be a long-winded project, 10 to 20 or more years. Sometimes it takes 30 years for that, depending on how much help there is in the translation work, and all kinds of checking and things like that. But the third department is scripture engagement. So it's a whole thing unto itself, a whole another part of the project. And so it concerns how God's people encounter and use the Bible. It's not directly the Bible translation. It's how we use the translation that has come to us. And the goal is to ensure that people are taking ownership of and are equipped to use the Bible in their language. Let's see here. That's one of those things where it's going to get off a little bit each time, so we'll maybe have to have some manual intervention from the back there. But the purpose of Bibles International Scripture Engagement Department is to help churches to grow in the skill of using Scripture throughout the life of a project in order to ensure they take ownership and they utilize it effectively, depending on the Spirit, of course, for the purposes that God intends. So they... let's see, the need, that's good right there. Yeah, the Bible translation, so the need for a scripture engagement department, they're trying to, you know, give a little justification for why do we have this third department in the organization. And it's a small department in Bibles International, but other translation houses, it's much bigger. Translation often takes place where national churches are young and underdeveloped without the support of church planting missionaries. I know of accounts of missionaries going to encourage and even exhort the churches, hey, listen, you've got a Bible. Why aren't you using it in the church service? Why aren't you reading from it in the church service? Why aren't you reading it when you have it in your home? And just encouraging people that way. Translation societies often lack the human resources needed to develop national churches. And some translation projects are completed and Bibles printed, but the nationals do not use the Bible to their full potential. This is a problem. I've heard this two times. One, I'll say, a generation ago from our former pastor, and one just recently from one of the men at Bibles International. When they publish or print the Bible, when they get it shipped to the destination, have the dedication service, they will often sell the Bibles to the people for a nominal amount. Now you ask yourself, well, why? After all this has been published and paid for and printed and all of that, why do they sell it? Well, if you give it away, people will take the Bible and they will use the paper in it to roll cigarettes, for example. Have you thought about that? Pastor Sachs told that to me years ago. I mean, it's 25 years ago probably, something like that, that they knew of that happening with Bibles that were sent overseas. And the same thing, they can be misused for all kinds of things these days, and so you want to put a little bit of a price on it so it's not just so easy and free for somebody. It's kind of strange. You don't think about that, but that stuff does happen. Unscrupulous people doing that because they don't care anything about the Word of God. But in any case, the Bibles are not used properly. And so if they're not, then you have, well, what do you have if you have a church that's disconnected from God's Word? Weak churches, weak Christians, false doctrine, even heresies. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into scripture use, research, and ministry. Suram there is a thing, and so they go into all kinds of details. There's a website called the Ethnologue. There's one called Joshua Project, I think it is, where you can look up information on translations, on the amount of whether a translation exists in a certain region for that language and what the utilization of it is. If they have that data, of course, you can imagine that's hard data to gather, but some people are busy doing that. So BI then goes into a theological foundation and of their scripture engagement department, and we come next to presuppositions. Sorry, that one's cut off a little bit up there. Maybe we can move that down a little bit. But scripture engagement has been happening since Moses wrote the Torah. So they're drawing facts from way back in scripture. So scripture does have something to say about it, about scripture engagement. And so here's some theological foundations. Scripture engagement work, at least at this organization, rests upon the centrality of the scriptures used by God's people in the way that he commands in the context of the local church. That last part is kind of a distinguishing factor, because Bibles International is part of Baptist Mid-Missions. We're concerned about the use of Scripture in the church. We're not just concerned about having a Bible and then giving it out to individuals and, hey, good, we're done, but the actual use of it in the church. For instance, Paul says to Timothy, give attention to the reading, to public reading is what he says, and what he's meaning is the public reading of Scripture. They do that in the synagogue, don't they? Why should we not in the church? For sure, read the Scriptures. And so we have the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, the Scripture is given by inspiration or is inspired by God and profitable. And it's given so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We're told to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us all with wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. And then the church is the pillar and ground or support of the truth. That's maybe not so visible there for you, but so the focus is on the local church there. Scripture engagement in many evangelical Bible societies focuses on individual use and experience with the Bible. We want that, but we also have to have the use of it in the churches. And strangely to me, maybe you've heard of this, but there's been a recent emphasis on all kinds of different ways of engaging with the Scripture, including things like, is that visible up there? Including things like calligraphy, drama, interpretive dance, trauma healing, multimedia, and digital distribution. Now, I'm not going to knock digital distribution entirely because I'm involved in that, but drama, dance, trauma healing, that sort of thing, those aren't exactly what we're looking for when we're looking for engagement with the Scripture in the church. The church is central to our philosophy and therefore to the Scripture engagement work. So that's a good philosophy. It's not only a human activity, it's a work of God through the Holy Spirit. God is concerned with people engaging in Scripture as well. Think about Luke 24, where when Jesus spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, what happened to them? He opened their understanding so that they could understand the Scriptures. Or that's later after the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:45, but he was opening the Scriptures to help them understand. 1 Corinthians 2:12, perhaps only directly limited to the apostles here, but now Paul says we've received the Spirit who is from God so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. So God gave those things to the apostles. They wrote them in the Scriptures. The Spirit of God enlightens our minds, illuminates us so that we can understand them as well. But the natural man does not accept the things of God, the Bible says. That's a little bit smaller, but Just think about that for a moment, if you would. The reason that people like out on the street and the art fair on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or some of our family members, the reason that they don't accept the things of the Spirit of God is because their minds are unable to apprehend them, unable to grasp the significance of them. They miss them because they're a natural person, not a spiritual person. All right, let's go to the next one. Sorry, again, a small text here. So more theological foundations. Human agency is not to be ignored in Scripture engagement. Yes, you have God, but you have people and their involvement as well. For example, how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Romans 10 tells us. I mean, how can somebody read the Bible if it's not translated? We could kind of adapt that text to this. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they read without a translator? So human involvement is very important. God gave us apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers, evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of service and the building up of the body of Christ. And 2 Timothy 2:2 adds, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, that's what Hector was talking about this morning, I think, in the Sunday school when he talked about personal training that he was involved in with his people. Okay, so here's a bunch more texts. Sorry about the size again, but you can get these online. I don't have these particular ones online, but I can send them to you if you're interested. You have passages like Deuteronomy 6, you must teach these to your sons, and you shall walk of them, talk of them when you sit in your house and walk by the way. That's Scripture engagement. Psalm 1, in his law, he meditates day and night. That's Scripture engagement. So maybe one of the lessons we can draw from this tonight is, for those of you listening online, those of you here, am I genuinely and actively engaging in Scripture, or is it just sitting over on the shelf somewhere and I just pick it up once in a while or on Sunday to take it to church to show off a little bit that I have a Bible? Am I truly engaged with God's Word? Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you, Psalm 119 says. Jesus adds, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, how are you going to keep his commandments if you don't engage with them at all? Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. These are the Bereans, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. In Colossians, we read this already, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. I mentioned also 1 Timothy 4:13 at the bottom of the slide there. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. So let me show, that's just a kind of overview slide. We start with the biblical text, we translate the text into the target language, and then we are involved in Scripture engagement to encourage the churches to fulfill the Great Commission and to equip the saints. So here's just some interesting kind of engaging pictures here. So this is the, remember I mentioned the three departments. There's the project management, and they're picturing here talking about research, trying to figure out if a group is ready for a Bible translation. Some of you probably recognize this individual right here. That's Joe Valentin, who's been here and preached before, and he's the director of the project management department there at the mission. Let's see. Oh, this looks like Bethany Boston here, who's working with them and speaking about literacy and linguistics research. So they do all of that, and then there's training of church leaders. That's a little bit off there, but in this picture here, we have Michael Carlisle, who's become a friend in ministry. He's with the Scripture Engagement Department at Bibles International, so training church leaders and believers. And then one of the other things, interesting things about Scripture Engagement is, here's a little computer shot, is gathering feedback to improve the quality of the translation. So one of the things that is done is when, in the process of doing the translation, they produce a draft of a book, and then they share that with a committee of people, or they share it more widely, and they ask for feedback from the readers. So they have a form that somebody could fill out or a way to send an email to gather feedback, and people can ask, what does this mean, or what is this word, or why we don't usually use this. And sometimes we get feedback back on the App Store, so we'll have somebody that gives a rating, you know, one star to five stars, and they can put a comment. And sometimes I've seen comments from users like, oh, I don't understand these words, or these words are too similar to another cousin language, and it was dissatisfying to them, well, because they had a philosophy like that. This should have been that, you know, or this should have been said that way. And the translation team and the churches agreed on doing it a different way. So can't please all the people all the time, I suppose, is one of the lessons there. But you can imagine sitting in front of a computer like this in a translation workshop for hours on end, going over all the texts of Scripture and what's the best way to say this in this language. And then there's, of course, developing Bible study books and materials. Training materials, books, tracts are another way to help with Scripture engagement. And then, of course, the distribution of the Scripture. And we have a picture up here in the upper right of the App Store. So that's what I put on there for one of the translations, and that's for the Dagara. But there are 55 others that we've done as well, our team has done. And a picture on the left of a basket of new Bibles wrapped in plastic. And I don't know if you're like me, a book file, but it would be awfully exciting to receive a Bible for the very first time, brand new, wrapped in plastic, and ready to go. I think that's one of the most exciting things when they're able to do that and dedicate a text of Scripture. I won't bore you with the Scripture Engagement Department org chart there, but let's see if we can get one. Just go up a little bit, John. So those, yeah, there we go. Scripture Engagement Missionaries. We have there Michael Carlisle and his wife Julie, who we know, and then also Alex and Elizabeth Wheeler. Any of you remember Alex and Elizabeth Wheeler? Yep. So they've been here. They are in the Scripture Engagement Department as well, and they're living in India. The greatest need that they have is, guess what? Laborers. Laborers. So, you know, for anybody that's a young person perhaps listening, or older, if you have facility in language especially, you could be a translator or translation consultant. If you have a burden for Scripture engagement, you could be involved in this as well, and you could aim your training, a Bible college training and maybe seminary training and a specialized training, or college training in this area of linguistics or literacy or whatever, and you could be used mightily of God to do this kind of work. This, we believe, is part of the Great Commission. Now, some people would focus just on church planting and very much appreciate that, and we should be involved in, and very heavily involved in church planting. However, imagine planting a church with no Bible in the language that you're planting. It's a little bit tough. So that's why we are interested in translation and Scripture engagement. Here's a picture of the Bibles International's current projects. And remember, this is just one translation house. There are multiple translation houses that are doing this work. But you can see the ongoing work in all these different areas of the globe, including Eurasia, Europe, Americas, Africa, and Asia. And most of these we have apps for already. Many of them are New Testament only, and Old Testaments are in progress. Some of them are brand new, and I haven't even seen any text from them at all on my end as far as digital publication. So we're awaiting for those to come. All right, I'm going to close out this PDF and see if I can go to the slides again. Let's see, John, could you also follow? Well, you know what? Actually, it's not going to really matter because the next slide in my slide deck is homework for my class, and I suppose I won't give you a homework assignment, okay? So we'll let you off easy tonight. But that is scripture engagement and the use of scripture. Next time, what I'd like to look at is found in our next slide deck, which that is not available online yet, but I will get those linked. And this has to do with translation work and the Great Commission. And so we're going to talk next time about Bible preservation, translation, and the great need for translation that yet exists. The need, to me, is astonishing. After hundreds of years, the church still has a huge task ahead of it in terms of translating the Bible. And so I will show you some more of the translation houses working on this and the lengthy process of translation. And I want to just share with you a little bit about what we've done with artificial intelligence in generating draft translations, which are not anywhere near perfect, but they are interesting. And so we'll share a little bit about that the next time we have opportunity to do so. Just as far as announcements go for upcoming, do be in prayer for the art fair Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They do forecast some storms on Friday already, but we'll see. God is obviously in control of that, and that can change any minute, but we'll have some heat in the atmosphere, so we'll expect a thunderstorm probably to blow through. And then next week in the Sunday school, my plan is to finish the report of our trip to Northern Ireland. So we'll have some more there. The young people could join us if they wish to do so. And that will be next Sunday school. Then we'll continue on in our series in 2 Corinthians on Sunday morning. And then we'll see what happens next Sunday night. I don't think the Lorches will be back in town, so they will be back this week, but then probably out again next time. So we'll see if Jansen will be able to share a word with us anywhere in there. But that will bring us to the conclusion of our Sunday night and our Sunday. We had a nice day of ministry today. We're grateful for it. Very wonderful time here and also at our home with the Garcias, and continue to pray for their mission as well as for our other missionaries as well. We were well instructed this morning in God's Word, and I appreciate that. So let's pray as we close. Father, we close tonight thanking you that we have your Word, and I pray that our hearts will be minded to engage with it and not just be lazy about it. It is our life. It is our nourishment. It is the truth which sanctifies us. It is that which gives us strength and wisdom and guidance and equips us for every good work. So I pray for your help that we will engage with the Scripture. And like our friends, our brothers and sisters in communities far and wide across this globe, that they too will actively be engaged with the Scriptures. Fulfill the mission of the Scripture Engagement Department. We pray for Bibles International and help them to accomplish that great work. In Jesus' name, amen.